Kia ora whānau. Kia ora. That's a good response. How has the long weekend been for you?
Long.
Oh, that's good. That's nice. Long weekends don't normally feel long, do they? It's like you get into it and then it's like, oh, it's over. Who's been up to something fun over the weekend? Zach has. Emmett has. That's good. Alan has. Very good. There's a few people away. Well, I've had a really fun long weekend. Just thanks for asking. Yesterday I ran a half marathon, and that was really cool. I really enjoyed it. Yes, I know it's a bit weird to think that's fun, but it was actually quite fun. Apart from the last, you know, couple of kilometres, which was just a bit of pain, but that was really good. And on Friday, our family went to... Oh, Aaron's got his hand up. What would you like to say, Aaron? You got to stay at home. Oh my goodness, that's fun. Especially when Dad's there, eh? Yeah. On Friday, our family went out to Oakura Marae, where we were welcomed on, and we were there was heaps of fun and heaps of games. There was like music going, there was yummy food, there was quite a lot of local faces around. I even saw some of you guys out there, so that was really fun. And that takes me to thinking about the Baptist gathering that we had, the gathering of Baptist leaders. A few of us went up to Waitangi in November. I was struck while we were up there how it seemed like common knowledge to the people that on Waitangi Day, the media descend and are out in force, trying to make it seem like there's all sorts of combativeness and conflict, aggro and arguments. Where the reality is, from what all the people were saying, was that actually it's a really peaceful family time. And I was reminded of the importance of not believing everything that we see and hear in the media. Who was here last week? Michael's sermon last week, I thought that was outstanding. He spoke about the lack of people in Spotswood that are connected to a local church, and how for many of these people, it's because there's a perception or a real experience of Christians being judgmental and hypocritical. His passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 shows us the importance of entering the world of people who are different to us. The Apostle Paul says in the Bible, that to the Jew I became like a Jew, to the non-Jews I became like a non-Jew, to the weak I became like a weak. Why? So that some may be introduced and connected to Jesus. Michael left us with the challenge to not ignore or stay afraid of people who are different to us, but rather to walk towards them in gentleness, in humility, in authenticity, to get to know them, to enter their world. And this flows seamlessly into our passage this morning, which sounds similar in many ways, because again, it's talking about non-Jews, or Gentiles, that's the other word for non-Jews. Gentiles. Galatians 3, that Jacob read, is stating clearly God's heart for all people, that all people have equal value and dignity and purpose. And this forces us to consider ways to live as if we are one. So I'm going to read this passage again. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is not a merging of all different people into one, as if males and females should be the same or that different cultures should merge to be the same. Rather, this is saying that there is value, dignity, and purpose for all people as they are, regardless of who you are. In the wider context of Galatians, our passage today is the third argument the Apostle Paul offers to the Galatians, that acceptance and friendship with God are based on faith for people of all kinds and not on following the Jewish law to perfect that relationship. Like the song that we were just singing, "You are my friend and you are my brother." This is about being family with God, friends with Jesus, and that comes about only through faith and not by following the Jewish law. Faith in Jesus Christ makes a person a child of God. And being a child of God means that a person is also a member of this weird little phrase called Abraham's seed or family, because we then belong to Jesus Christ, who is also the seed of Abraham in the family of Abraham. Through faith, this also makes us heirs according to the promise. Through faith, we will inherit friendship with God through being forgiven and made clean and put right with God through Jesus. We are family and we belong because of faith in Jesus. Nothing else. The Apostle Paul went to lengths to explain this stuff about faith because there were many people who really struggled to get their head around it. There was this group of people called the Judaizers who had put their faith in Jesus, but they also continued to follow the Jewish law in detail. And most problematically, they expected any other new Christian would not just have faith in Jesus, but that they too would start following the Jewish rules. To faith, the Judaizers were adding a need to live like how they lived. They wanted new people to fit into their culture. They wanted people to fit into their culture. The Judaizers needed to be put in their place by Paul, by having the good news of Jesus made clear to them. Through Jesus dying for all, and his Spirit soon after descending on people, showing faith in him is for all people, a cultural revolution started. Sorry, I just totally lost my place there. A cultural revolution started when people realized, when Jesus died for all and his Spirit descended on all people. A cultural revolution started. Cultural divisions are to have no part in the Church of Jesus Christ. All humans must be treated in light of God's love in Christ, not in the light of their culture. This is part of the gospel. The thing is, it wasn't just these Galatian Jewish Christians that were struggling, but even early Christian leaders struggled to get their heads around this concept. The Apostle Peter really mucked it up. And the Church of Jerusalem eventually noted in Acts chapter 11 that God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. Note that they said even the Gentiles, even the non-Jews. This is a big deal for them to get their heads around, that it's not just our way of doing things in our culture. Paul made it clear that cultural restrictions are done away with, for acceptance by God is through faith. We get this message loud and clear when we notice in the passage the repeating of the little word all. Paul isn't so much picking on the people who want people to be like them, rather he's emphasizing that God's heart, that all people with faith in Jesus are children of God. All are one in Christ. I particularly appreciated spending time at Ohakura Marae on Friday, as it was 175 years since New Zealand's founding document was established and signed. We are so blessed as a country and as individuals to have the Treaty of Waitangi. Our Treaty of Waitangi came to be because growing numbers of settlers highlighted to those concerned with Māori well-being that some legislation was needed. Firstly, for the protection of Māori, and secondly, for the ongoing governance of New Zealand. A bunch of Christian politicians in England then got together and worked really hard behind the scenes to make this happen. And the missionaries were sought out by Māori as to what they thought of the trustworthiness of the British suggesting this treaty. And then 175 years ago, on Friday, the Treaty of Waitangi was signed in the Bay of Islands by British representative Captain William Hobson and several English residents and approximately 45 Māori orangatira, or chiefs, with the famous Honi Heke being the first one to sign. The Māori text of the treaty was then taken around Northland to obtain additional Māori signatures, and copies were sent around the rest of the country for signing. And by the end of 1840, over 500 Māori chiefs had signed the treaty. But what does the treaty say? Very briefly, the Treaty of Waitangi has three articles and a start and an end, which crucially states that all those who signed acknowledge that they have entered into the full spirit of the treaty. It's the spirit of the treaty, or the intentions or principles, which are very important today. Māori signed the Treaty of Waitangi because they trusted the missionaries' advice and because they recognised that their land and their ways were changing and that they needed protection. As had been their practice from day one, Māori continued to be willing to share their land, resources and lives. They were willing to share the leadership of their land with Europeans, believing that this would be better for all people. Essentially, the Treaty of Waitangi is saying that two peoples are becoming one, participating together in partnership, including for protection. And this stuff is radical. This treaty description and spirit displays no dominating, no ruling over, no first class or second class. Decisions will be made together that respect each other's values, and protection is given from outsiders. We are blessed to have such a respectful, fair document as the founding document for our nation. The treaty is about two cultures living together as one people. It doesn't matter if you are Māori or from European descent. We are one. And Galatians chapter 3 speaks into this Waitangi long weekend that ends today. Faith in Jesus does away with one culture thinking it's more important than another. Faith in Jesus does away with one culture thinking it's more important than another. We here this morning are mainly white middle class, aren't we? We have a culture. It's ways that we go about things. We like to have a cup of tea or coffee with a biscuit during or after things that we do, whether it's here or outside of Sunday morning as well. When we eat, it's generally a small finger food lunch. We place value on money and on property and on holidays and on education and on work. On Sunday mornings, we sing some songs and have a sermon. We have chairs in rows, and we often take the same seat like it's ours. Well, we always sit in the same place. It's true, though, eh? This is what we do. Not everyone, you know, and it's not. We express our faith as well. Not just the things I've described, but we express our faith in very white middle-class ways, most of us. And the thing is, there isn't necessarily anything wrong with this. It's just that we can fall into the trap of thinking that we're better than other people who don't live like we do. That is the trap of thinking that we're better than other people who don't live like we do, or thinking that we need to change people to live like we do. And this was the trap that the Judaizers had fallen into in Galatia. They expected everybody to live like them. So what might be some indicators that we're being too Judaizer-like? I've got some ideas up here. indicators that we're being too Judaizer like. Like, remember the ones that wanted the new Christians to become like live out all the Jewish rules? That's the temptation, the risk that we have. Do we talk much with people from different cultures? Not just different ethnic cultures, but anybody who is quite different from us. Do we spend much time talking with them? If not, perhaps we're a little bit on the Judaizer spectrum. Do we spend time with different people outside of Sunday morning? If not, maybe we're a little bit further down the Judaizer spectrum. Do we invite different people into our home or go into different people's homes? Do we make faces or sigh or roll our eyes or pass comment when other languages, especially Tadeo, are spoken? Or when I mention the treaty? I think that would point towards having a Judaizer type way of thinking. Who are we willing to sit and eat with? What sort of food are we willing to eat? Whose house are we willing to enter? In 1976, the Treaty of Waitangi became, for the first time, accepted for the first time as an official legal document in New Zealand. 1976. It's like for 136 years, the pact, the agreement, the covenant that had been made in good faith, with trust and good intentions, it was ignored, dismissed, rejected. And that is completely and utterly wrong. I suspect what this has meant in New Zealand society is that the treaty has only really been in our minds for a generation or so. I don't know that, but I suspect that. And I think this is part of the reason why younger people, age group was, after 1976, so not that young, depends on how you look at it. But I think this is part of the reason why younger people are far more positive and embracing of the treaty. And why, why many older people struggle with it. For people who grew up without knowledge of what the treaty was about, I can understand the hesitation and I can understand the wariness and the skepticism. Even the Apostle Peter struggled with the concept of his culture not being the one to which others had to fit into. And so if this is you, if you fit into this bracket, please hear the words of Scripture this morning. There is no Jew or Gentile. We are all one in Christ. Being a Judaizer is in direct contrast to being somebody who enters the world of others. Being a Judaizer is in direct contrast to being a person who shows justice and mercy and humility. Being a Christian, that is someone part of God's kingdom, who partners with God to extend his kingdom's influence on earth. Being a Christian, which is what this is about, being a Christian is being Christ-like. And this weekend, Waitangi weekend, reminds us that New Zealand is founded on an agreement to be one people. Not one culture, but one people. Being Christian, this weekend reminds us that New Zealand is founded on an agreement to share what we have together. Being Christian, this weekend reminds us that New Zealand is founded on an agreement to lead together, because each culture's voice needs to be heard for justice to exist. Being Christian, this weekend reminds us that New Zealand is founded on an agreement. And this means for people like the majority of us that we need to enter the world of Māori, to get to know, to learn together, to help us have attitudes based on relationship, not attitudes based on what the media tells us. This week, my invitation to everyone is to pray. To pray, to talk with God. To talk with God about how you feel about all cultures being of equal value before God. Because it is by faith in Jesus that we are accepted. And secondly, to talk with God about how you currently might be entering the world of others. Because I'm sure we're doing it in some way. Or how you might do that more. Let's conclude with this prayer from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Kia tau ki te tātou katoa, te atawhai o te tātou ariki a ihu karaiti, me te aroha o te atua, me te whiwhi nā tahitanga, ki te wārua tapu, ake, 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 amene. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, forever and ever. Amen.